So reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text number 24. Translation. A man who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. How activities in Krishna consciousness can lead one ultimately to the spiritual goal is described here. There are various activities in Krishna consciousness, and all of them will be described in the following verses. But for the present, just the principle of Krishna consciousness is described. A conditioned soul, entangled in material contamination, is sure to act in the material atmosphere, and yet he has to get out of such an environment. The process by which the conditioned soul can get out of the material atmosphere is Krishna consciousness. For example, a patient who is suffering from a disorder of the bowels due to overindulgence in milk products is cured by another milk product, namely curds. The materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness as set forth here in the Gita. This process is generally known as yajna or activities, sacrifices simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. The word Brahma or Brahman means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual and the rays of His transcendental body are called Brahmajyoti, His spiritual effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in that Brahmajyoti. But when the Jyoti is covered by illusion, Maya, or sense gratification, it is called material. This material veil can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. Thus the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, the process of consumption, the contributor and the results all combine together, Brahman or the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth covered by Maya is called matter. Matter, dovetailed for the cause of the Absolute Truth, regains its transcendental qualities. Krishna consciousness is the process of converting the illusory consciousness into Brahman or the Supreme. When the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in samadhi or trance. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna, or sacrifice for the Absolute. In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer or leader of the performance, and the result or ultimate gain, everything becomes one in the Absolute, the Supreme Brahman. That is the method of Krishna consciousness. Translation again. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksuran Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kaupatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is the initiation into the subject matter of sacrifice, which Lord Krishna will describe in several verses in the next section of this chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And he will ultimately come to the conclusion that the highest sacrifice is the sacrifice of transcendental knowledge, and that sacrifice is achieved by approaching the spiritual master. So this verse is the beginning of that section of sacrifice. Lord Krishna is describing the nature of sacrifice and how it purifies everything. Lord Krishna, Prabhupada has written here that matter dovetailed for the... The absolute truth covered by Maya is called matter. Matter, dovetailed for the cause of the absolute truth, regains its spiritual quality. So this is the process of sacrifice. Utilizing matter in the service of the absolute truth and purifies everything. There was a program held at a university, and the students put up posters around the college telling the students that there was going to be an experiment. They were going to turn matter into spirit, and they invited people to come. So it caught the interest of the students, and a lot of people came. They were all eager to see matter made into spirit. So the devotees had prepared a makeshift altar on the stage. The devotee brought out a plate for offering to the Lord. They drew the curtain, and the devotee offered obeisances, began to ring the bell, chant the mantra. It's all matter. He said, now it's all spirit. The matter has been made into spirit. Right? The offering has been made to the Lord, and it is now all spiritualized. We do not eat matter. We eat prasadam, the mercy of Krishna. So devotees know the process of making, of turning matter into spirit. Actually, this is the business of a person in Krishna consciousness, to turn the material energy into the spiritual energy. And for a devotee of Krishna, there is no matter. There is no material energy. In Krishna consciousness, we can see everything in relation to Krishna. And we use everything for the service of Krishna. In this way, there's no fear of the material energy. If we are utilizing everything for Krishna's service, we do not have to worry about Maya. Because Maya is the illusory, inferior energy. Wherever there is Krishna, there is light, right? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Ahaya Andakar. Yahan Krishna Tahannahi Maya Adhikar. Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. So wherever there is the light of the sun, darkness cannot cover it. Darkness is only there due to the absence of light. Now outside it's getting dark because the sun is set. But so long as the sun is there, there's no question of darkness. And similarly, so long as there is Krishna consciousness, there's no question of Maya. There's no fear of the illusory material energy. Because simply there is Krishna consciousness. So this verse is describing how everything which is done in Krishna consciousness becomes Brahman. The person making the offering, the object which is offered, the fire of offering, the object which consumes that offering, everything, they all become Brahman. They're all spiritualized. For the devotee of Krishna, we utilize everything in this material world for Krishna's service. Rupa Goswami has taught us that actual renunciation is to utilize everything in the service of the Lord. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchate. Real renunciation is to utilize everything for the service of Lord Sri Krishna. Prabhupada's own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, was revolutionary in showing how a sadhu can utilize the material energy in the service of the Supreme Lord. Prior to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it was customary for sadhus to go everywhere barefooted, simply walking in unstitched cloth. They would not wear any stitched cloth. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati changed things. He wore sewn cloth and he would go in a big car. But he would go to meet government people to create an impression on them. And he would influence them and bring them out to visit Mayapur Dam to confirm that Mayapur Dam was the actual birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would go and preach to wealthy people and prominent politicians and like that. In this way, he would utilize things like cars and sewn cloth, not for sense gratification, but simply to create a favorable impression on the minds of materialistic people. Of course, this has to be done with caution. You have to be careful that you are not utilizing these things for your own sense gratification, and that it is only in the service of Krishna. So there's a fine line between what is for our benefit and for what is for Krishna's benefit. You know, people may often say, I'm using it for Krishna Prabhu. I need this for Krishna. I'm doing this for Krishna. But sometimes it may be that we don't really need these things for Krishna, and it's more for our own pleasure and for our own sense gratification rather than for the pleasure of Krishna. And that creates problems. So as devotees, we have to be careful. We want to utilize material resources, but at the same time we must be careful that we do not become attached to them unnecessarily. Lord Krishna has already spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam vaya vasayatmika buddhi samadona vidyate. In the minds of those who are attached to material opulence and sense gratification, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, prior to his utilizing these objects in the service of Krishna, he had already spent a considerable period of time undergoing severe renunciation and accepting great hardships and austerities while chanting the holy name of Krishna. So he had already completely detached himself from the material world. So he had no fear of the material world. Therefore, he could accept these different resources and use them in the service of Krishna. However, if his disciples tried to imitate him, then they would get problems. They would become attached to these things and think of these things for their own sense gratification. And in this way, their devotional service would be greatly hampered. So the subject matter of this verse is, of course, sacrifice. Sacrifice in the Kali Yuga is Sankirtan. We are propagating the Yuga Dharma, Kali Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vininai Tara Pravartan. That the Dharma for the age of Kali Yuga is Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And one who is empowered with the energy of Krishna, with Krishna Shakti, then he can propagate the Sankirtan movement. This is the qualification necessary for spreading the chanting of the holy name, that one needs Krishna Shakti. One has to be empowered. Just like if you have a legal case, you may hire a lawyer to represent you in the court. You can tell your lawyer to go to the court on your behalf, and the lawyer can be your representative. So in the same way, the devotee of the Lord can be also the representative of the Lord. Kali Yuga Dharm Hari Nam Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vininahi Tara Pravartan. So when devotee is empowered to represent Krishna, when they're given this Krishna Shakti, then they can successfully propagate the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So we saw this in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati Prabhupada, and then again in our own Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that they were empowered with the energy of Krishna to spread the chanting of the holy names far and wide. The Panchatattva in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda and their associates appeared to distribute love of God and to establish the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names. It's a sacrifice in which everyone can be purified. When we take part in Sankirtan, everyone feels the benefit. Right? When we give lectures, some people sleep, some people listen. You know, not everyone gets benefit. Some people may like, some may not. Hard to please everyone. But in Kirtan, you know, everyone gets the mercy. Right? Kirtan, the Sankirtan movement is for everyone's pleasure. Prabhupada described it, he said it's like machine gun. You know, when they bring in the machine gun, all dead, right? Yeah. So that's Sankirtan. Everyone gets the mercy for everyone's benefit. So the Panchatattva, when it is said that when Lord Krishna appeared, he had brought with him a storehouse of love of God. But the contents were sealed. Krishna put conditions. He said, when you surrender to me, then I will protect you. There were some conditions there to get Krishna's protection. You have to surrender, then Krishna will protect you. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made no conditions. He, along with his associates, they broke open the storehouse of love of God and they distributed it to everyone. They gave to young men, old men, women and children. Without any consideration, they distributed everywhere love of God. And this way everyone benefited. It is said that generally a storehouse will have a very fixed amount. The contents of the storehouse is finite, limited. But the storehouse of Krishna Prem, which was broken open by the Panchatattva, this was a transcendental storehouse. And the more they distributed the contents, the more the supply increased hundreds of times. That is the nature of distributing Krishna consciousness. That if we give Krishna consciousness to others, then we awaken so much more Krishna consciousness within ourselves. Lord Krishna says in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Nachatasman manushyeshu kaschin me priya kritamaha. That one who is delivering this message of devotional service to others is very dear to him. So we can all become dear to Krishna by taking up the Sankirtan movement. As we said, Sankirtan is a sacrifice. It is a Yuga Dharma, the process for sacrifice in this age. In each age, there's some recommended process. In the Satya Yuga, the process was meditation. In the Treta Yuga, the process was sacrifice. In the Dwapara Yuga, the process was temple worship. Now in the Kali Yuga, the process is Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name. When we perform this sacrifice, then it is very pleasing to the Lord. Everyone who takes part in the activity is purified, and everyone who hears also becomes purified. Sometimes, of course, people don't like to hear. Not everyone enjoys hearing, you know. We know there was a Gantakarn. You know Gantakarn? Gantakarn. He had the gantas on his karn. You know, ganta, bell. It means a bell in the ear. Karn is the ear. So he had bells on his ear. Why did he put big bells on his ear? He didn't want to hear the holy name. Whenever the Sankirtan party would come by, Gantakarn would... He'd shake his head, the bells would ring, you know, then he won't have to hear the kirtan, you see. So that's the idea. Not everyone wants to hear the holy name, but those who hear, who are willing to hear, they benefit. They benefit by hearing. The instruments which are used in this Sankirtan, they are also Brahman, our madanga, kartals. Prabhupada instructed us how we have to take care of the instruments. We don't put them on the floor because they're spiritual. They're not ordinary. They're not material. The madanga, the kartals, the instruments of the kirtan, they're all divine. They're all Brahman. So we must keep them sacred, put them on the table or on the mat some way, support them. Don't put them on the ground. So this is the same as being described here. Everything which is offered in the sacrifice becomes Brahman. The person performing the sacrifice is Brahman. And the person receiving the benefits of the sacrifice, he also becomes Brahman. Sarvam kauvidam Brahma. Shankaracharya said everything is Brahman. Yes, true. Everything is Brahman. But there is something which is not Brahman, that Lord Krishna is Parabrahman. He is the supreme Brahman. So that is a distinction that while everything is Brahman, still there is the ordinary Brahman and there is the supreme Brahman, Lord Sri Krishna. And he is the Yajna Purush. He is the enjoyer of the sacrifice, actually. Everything is meant for his pleasure. At the end of the fifth chapter, Lord Krishna speaks the peace formula. Bhoktaram yagna tapasham sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyadva mam shantim richati. Bhoktaram yagna tapasham. The purpose of all sacrifices and austerities is for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Because he's sarva loka maheshwar. He is the proprietor of all the planets. Everything is his. Everything belongs to him. So the purpose of all our yajnas and tapasya is meant to be for his pleasure. Suridam sarva bhutanam. He is the best friend of every living entity. Suridam sarva bhutanam gyadvamam shantim richati. If we recognize these three things, we will be peaceful. Recognize that everything belongs to Krishna, everything is meant for his pleasure, and he is our best friend. We just need to know that, and we can be peaceful. You don't need to go and drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes or watch a movie. You just simply have to understand that Lord Krishna is our best friend, everything is his, and it's all meant for his pleasure. And in this way we can find eternal peace. So this, the message of the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us the purpose of life, how to utilize our human form of life in a worthwhile manner. in a natural way. Everyone has to do some type of sacrifice in the course of their life. You take a job, you're working somewhere, or even if you have your own business, you have to make many sacrifices. If you get married, then there's sacrifices to be made to working together with a wife or a husband, and then raise a family, have children, and also sacrifices are required, taking care of the child and looking after the child's welfare and education, then maybe even arranging marriages for the child. So many sacrifices have to be made. But we should also understand that sacrifices are also meant to be made for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. That is the real sacrifice. The real purpose of sacrifice is not just for our own family or society or country, but for the Lord Himself. A human form of life is meant to be arranged in that way. There was the Varnashram Dharma system by which life was arranged as a sacrifice. From brahmachari to grihastha, one would then proceed into the vanaprastha stage and sannyas. The stage of vanaprastha, retirement from the material world, is an opportunity where one takes up actual spiritual activities which are dedicated for the pleasure of the Supreme. So this kind of sacrifice is there. In the past, with Vanaprast, you heard about great kings like Maharaj Bharat and Rishabdev and even the Pandavas, how they would retire from their kingdom and go into the forest and go to the mountains in exile, turning away from the world. This was their sacrifice to come closer to God. Nowadays, in this age, we cannot do such things. But we can come to the Krishna consciousness movement. The Krishna consciousness movement is there to help us also perform some sacrifice for the pleasure of the Supreme. That sacrifice is done by way of giving service for the Supreme. If we perform some activities for the pleasure of the Supreme, then this will purify us, this will benefit us. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes, yagnartat karmanan yatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kuntiya mukta sanga samacharam. That work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, that work binds you to the law of karma. That is the difference. If we work for our own sake, then that is karma bandhana. You simply become entangled in the actions and reactions of the material energy, which comes through the different modes of rajagun and tamagun. But when we act for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu or Krishna, then that work liberates us. That's the difference. It's very cut and dry. Either you serve Krishna or you serve Maya. When you serve Krishna, you get liberated, you get free from the material energy. And when you serve Maya, then you get kicked and we suffer. Because that's the nature of the material energy. The material energy does not give any shelter. She is a very cruel master. We know Mother Durga has her trishul, you know, her fork which she carries. And with her trishul, she is poking and jabbing us, inflicting us with the different miseries of life. Adibhautik, adiatmik, adidaivik. Yeah, the miseries of the material world. Miseries inflicted by other living entities. Sometimes animals, sometimes other people are giving us problems. so many different miseries come from material nature also. Heat and cold, no rain or too much rain or fire, some kind of problem like that. Adi-daivik. And then there are also miseries of our own body and mind. Endless problems with the material body. From one part of the body to another. All are places of misery. So that is the nature of the material world. We live in this material body. We have to suffer the material miseries of life. Maya does not give any release. That is why we should understand the importance of sacrifice. By performing sacrifice, by doing the sacrifice for the pleasure of the Supreme, we can liberate ourselves out of this material world. Upon giving up this body, you don't have to take another birth. You don't need to come back again. But if we simply act for this material body, then we create so much karma. And the nature of this karma is, it perpetuates itself, does not end. That action breeds a reaction. And then another action breeds another reaction. And it goes on endlessly. And in this way we are forced to take birth again and again and again through the different 84 lakh species of life. Taking birth and dying. Sometimes we're a deva living in the heavenly planets, enjoying swarga loka, and other times we're a worm in the stool, crawling in the gutter. And other times we're suffering in the hellish planets. Sometimes we stand as a tree. Other times we get the body of a bird and fly in the sky, or we're a fish and we swim in the sea. We go through all of these different species of life. And we've all probably been through all of these in the past also. But now we have this human form of life. And with the human form of life, we have a chance to get out, to get free, if we use this body in the proper way. So the solution is we have to do sacrifice. We have to perform sacrifice for the pleasure of the Supreme. Now, generally when we speak of sacrifice, people think sacrifice, that's a costly thing. You have to pay people, you have to pay the priest, oh, we have to buy ghee, and we have to buy this, and we have to buy that, oh, so many things to pay. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us the most cut price, big discount sacrifice, right? You get the maximum discount from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. That is very easily performed, inexpensive, you know, simply wherever we go, we simply have to chant the holy name of the Lord. We have to do everything in the service of Krishna, in consciousness of Krishna. So this kind of sacrifice, it's very powerful. It is described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastikam. He says, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Let there be all victory to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Because by chanting the holy names of the Lord, this is the actual sacrifice in this Kali Yuga. And the effects of this sacrifice are Chaito Darpana Marjanam. It cleanses the heart. The heart is like a mirror. But the mirror of our heart has become covered with so much dust. We have to clean the mirror to see the Lord. How to clean that mirror? We do it by Sankirtan. The more we chant, the more we are cleaning the mirror of the mind. We're cleaning the heart. And if we go on chanting, then we will one day we will see the Lord in the heart. We will see Him. This is the result of Sankirtan. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. It extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. If there is some big fire in the forest, how to put out that fire? If you send a fire brigade, they cannot do anything. The fire is so great, what can they do? And it's a forest, there's no water there, place everywhere very dry. But if a big rain cloud comes, then the rain cloud can pour the water and put out the fire very easily. So that is Sankirtan. It extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. We are all in the fire of material existence. How did this fire come about? No one's fault. We can't blame anyone. It's the nature of this material world. It's a fire. It's just like a blazing fire of material existence. How does the fire in the forest take place? Simply the wind blows and there's some friction of the dry wood and they produce a spark. And that way the whole forest goes on fire. It's nobody's fault. Nobody went there to set fire. It just took place by nature. In the same way, there are so many problems in material life. Therefore, the material life is compared to a blazing forest fire, the fire of material existence. But we can extinguish that fire by Sankirtan. It's very important that you do Sankirtan, chant the holy name. If you don't go out in the streets to chant the holy name, then at least you have to do the kirtan in your home. And every family should come together to chant the holy name. In your home, you should have a little altar, and every day you must have some time for chanting, for kirtan. And if you do that, you will see how your home becomes transformed. Instead of letting the children just simply go and play cricket every day, or whatever they do, if you insist that they come and join the kirtan and play the madanga and kartals and sing the holy name, you will see how your home can become just like Vaikuntha. It can be transformed. The power of Sankirtan is so great. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described the benefits of this chanting. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya karaiva chandrika vritaranam. That it is described to be just like the lotus flower which opens in the moonlight. So in the same way, by Sankirtan, then the lotus of Krishna consciousness unfolds through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Vidya Badu Jivanam. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Vidya Vadu Jivanam. Jivanam, the life. Vidya Vadu. The Vadu means wife. Vidya, transcendental knowledge. So, transcendental knowledge is awakened by chanting of the holy name of Krishna. When you take to the Sankirtan movement, you will also awaken transcendental knowledge. Anandan buddhi vardhanam. It is an ocean of transcendental bliss. Now, there's no limit. When you go in the ocean, you know, you may go swimming in the seashore. You know, the ocean is unlimited. It's so vast. So that is it. Sankirtan is like that. It's a vast ocean of transcendental bliss. There's no limit to it. You can go on, do it more and more, and you can experience more and more transcendental bliss. Anandan buddhi vardhanam patipadam purnamritasvadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described the chanting of the holy name in this way, that if we will also take up to this chanting, we can be doing the greatest sacrifice. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has also described Vibhuti Yoga. And there he has said that of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy name. This is the actual sacrifice by which we can actually please Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna. So we should take to this process. It is very simple and natural. And we will see how this body also becomes spiritualized. How our material body can become purified. We can awaken the transcendental consciousness. It is possible. It is a science. Just as when you touch an electric wire which is connected to the power station, then you will feel the electricity, right? So in the same way, when you start to chant the holy name of the Lord, because the holy name of the Lord is coming through the bona fide disciplic succession, so potency is there. And then we're connected to the original source, to Lord Krishna himself. One time in London, I remember there was a musical show held. There was some musical performance which was held in one theater. And it was a modern thing. They were singing songs. And then one of the songs they sang was the chanting of Hare Krishna. They actually chanted the Hare Krishna mantra in the course of this show. So the devotees asked Prabhupada about this, and Prabhupada said that because they have taken this mantra from our own Hare Krishna devotees, so he said they would all benefit from this because they were chanting Hare Krishna and they had received the mantra from our own disciplic succession. So he said certainly they would all benefit and make spiritual advancement. And actually it was like that, that some of the people who were in the show, they used to come regularly to our temple and they would also join us on Sankirtan, chanting in the streets of London. So this is a practical proof of this sacrifice, that it is not just simply some sentimental gathering, but it is a genuine spiritual activity. It is an actual act of sacrifice, and it is performed for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So we will stop here and ask if there are any questions. We can read the verse again for you. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So someone asks, how to develop a taste for the holy name? You have to develop the taste by chanting. If you don't have a taste, then you have to chant more. The more you chant, then the more likely you are to develop a taste. Of course, you have to also understand the importance of good association. If you can chant in the association of devotees, that is also recommended. If you are able to come to the temple and chant, that is a great advantage. If you chant in your own home, it may not be so conducive and so easy to control your mind. But if you come to the temple, that is the best place to do your chanting. The deities are there. The temple atmosphere is very powerful. Take advantage of that. Come to the temple and chant. But chanting you can do everywhere. You have to do it more and more. You may also need to cultivate more sambandha gyan. It means you need to hear more the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That will also help you to develop a taste for the holy name. If you have proper knowledge and understand the nature of Krishna's name and Krishna's transcendental qualities, the more we have knowledge of these things, then the more easier it is for us to develop a taste for the holy name. Another thing which is also good for you to help you develop a taste for the holy name is to join the kirtan. If you join the kirtan party and chant Hare Krishna in kirtan, then that can help you to improve your japa. So every day there is kirtan held in the temple room. Morning and evening programs are there. And there's always kirtan during the times of aarti. So if you can come for these, take part in the kirtan. When there are festivals, you must come, join the kirtan. And also Rath Yatra, there's always a lot of kirtan. So take part in kirtan as much as possible. And you can also organize kirtan yourself. Sometimes you can also listen to kirtan on the internet. And there's so many recordings of kirtan are placed there. You can hear the devotees chanting. So you need to hear the holy name more and more. And the more you hear, the more you will develop a taste for the holy name. This is a process. In the beginning, we have some avidya. It is like jaundice, right? The example is given in the Upadeshamrita. Rupa Goswami says that the person who has jaundice, that when they drink sugar candy, the sugar candy will taste bitter. But as the jaundice is gradually getting cured, as the liver is gradually becoming healthy, then as he goes on drinking sugar candy or sugar cane juice, then it gradually becomes sweeter and he can taste the real sweetness of the sugar cane as he's getting better. So in the same way, if we have no taste for the holy name, that is also a type of jaundice. If we have no taste for the holy name, we also have jaundice. We have the jaundice of materialism. Right? That is a different, it's not the jaundice of the liver, but it's the jaundice of the materialism. With jaundice, we become yellow. So in the same way, with materialism, we also become yellow. We're only thinking money, gold, right? We're thinking everywhere gold, money. That's material life, just thinking about gold. So we have no attraction for the holy name. We have to cure that jaundice by more chanting. Then you get more taste. Okay, we'll read another question here. One who is in Krishna consciousness is free from the laws of karma. But sometimes in Krishna consciousness we commit some mistake. So that mistakes are excused, or we will be given punishment for that. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, Apichit sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyak vayavasatohisa. That if we commit some activity which is not proper for a devotee, then Lord Krishna can give special mercy for that person and he will help them to quickly become righteous, provided they regret performing that activity. We've done some mistake, so if we realize after we did it that we did wrong, that we shouldn't have done it, and we become regretful and we repent and we feel very bad and we feel guilty that I've done such a terrible thing, then Lord Krishna will help us to quickly regain our spiritual position. Lord Krishna says, Kunti apriti janihi name bhakta pranashyati. Lord Krishna will not let his devotee perish. If we are genuine devotees, if we are genuinely trying to serve Krishna, but we did some mistake, somehow either by habit or by chance, somebody becomes a devotee, but before they were devotee, they used to smoke cigarettes, So they become a devotee, and then they're going out for book distribution, and then they're talking to somebody about a book and everything, and then the man he's talking to pulls out a packet of cigarettes and says, have a cigarette. He goes, oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, he forgets. You know, his devotee, he forgets. He stopped smoking. He had the habit before, you know. So it was, you know, it was just impulsive, you know. He didn't really mean. But even sometimes, you may do something, you know, it may not even it may even not be by habit. Whatever the reason is, you do something. But if you're genuine, we're really trying to be a devotee, we really want to be a servant of Krishna, and we're trying, but we made the mistake. Somehow, because the maya, the force of the material energy is very powerful. Anybody can fall down. Anybody can make mistakes. Huh? Mahatma Gandhi made mistake. Right? So many great men made mistakes. Prabhupada put in the Ishopanishad introduction. People told Mahatma Gandhi, don't go to the meeting. It's very dangerous tonight. You could be killed. But still he went. You know, he shouldn't have gone. You make mistakes. But anyone can make mistakes. But if one is devotee, we're trying to serve Krishna, Krishna will help us to become properly situated, to get free of these things again. Krishna wants to protect. This is a special love which Krishna has for his devotees, that he will help them to again become righteous. So we can remember that. Of course, we should not take advantage and think, well, Krishna will save me, Krishna will protect me. No. But if by chance we make some mistake, we should feel very bad. That is the important thing. And we should not do it repeatedly. Not that again and again we make the same mistake. We have to reform. We have to give up the bad habits. We are engaged in many occupational duties. Often we feel it is a burden to see. Often it is a burden, see it as an impediment in path of devotional service. How can it be taken as a sacrifice for Krishna? Okay, we're engaged in many occupational duties and we see them as being material. How can we see them in relationship to Krishna? We have to develop our Krishna consciousness. We have to see everything in relation to Krishna. You have to make your home Krishna conscious. You have to see your family as spirit souls. Don't just see your family in terms of flesh, but understand that they are also part and parcel of Krishna. And it is our duty to keep them in Krishna consciousness. Occupational duties are there. They can be also in relationship to Krishna. We have to have that Krishna consciousness. That consciousness comes about by our own spiritual practice. If we have a regular program, we do regular sadhana, wake up early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, read Srimad Bhagavatam, and hear the message of the scriptures, then we can get that consciousness. There's no reason to see the occupational duties as material. They can also be spiritualized. It's just we have to make our own self Krishna conscious. First we have to save ourselves, and then you can think about giving Krishna consciousness to others. So our own spiritual practice is important. The process of bhakti yoga requires we should wake up early in the morning, we should chant the holy name, we should read the scriptures, we should offer food to Krishna, eat prasadam. Don't just eat anything everywhere and anywhere. Eat food offered to Krishna. And in this way we can keep ourselves in good Krishna consciousness. And then we can see our work and our different duties, which are occupational duty, which appear to be a burden, we can see them in relation to Krishna. His Holiness Jaipataka Swami Maharaj was telling recently, he said there was one couple came to him. He said they were having difficulty in their marriage. So Jaipataka Maharaj suggested to them, why don't the both of you start a bhakti briksha group? So he encouraged both the husband and wife that together they should go and start a bhakti briksha group. And the result was that they went and they made like 500 devotees. And they, you know, and their whole consciousness of life changed. They became so happy and satisfied in Krishna consciousness. They forgot all the problems that they were having as husband and wife and in their home and like that, because they were so busy engaged in the service of Krishna. Of course, it takes cooperation. You know, both husband and wife have to be willing to be devotees, to cooperate like that. It's not always like that. Sometimes you get one person's a devotee and the other's not. You know, but anyway, in that case it worked. It was, at least in one case it worked. Now, another one. What is a transcendental service? Or what is transcendental knowledge? Transcendental means in relation to Krishna. Everything in relation to Krishna is transcendental. Transcendental means there's no influence of the material energy. It's not under the modes of nature. It's spiritual, transcendental. It's above the material energy. It means spiritual. So transcendental service, you do some service for Krishna. Yeah, if you do some, if you sweep the temple or wash the temple floor, that is transcendental. It's not material. If you're chanting the holy name of Krishna, that is transcendental. It's not material. When you eat food, the prasadam here at the temple is transcendental. You eat prasadam, it's not ordinary food. It's transcendental. And what you hear, these classes which we are giving from the scriptures, that is transcendental knowledge. It's not mundane knowledge. Mundane knowledge will always be imperfect and subject to change. But we're not going to change the message of the scriptures. The message of the scriptures is absolute. It doesn't change with time. If we are all, another question here, if we are all sons of the Almighty, why can't He create all good and pure souls? Because in His creation, we are killing each other in the name of God. Why so? Well, you have to understand that this is a prison house. You know, there, it's not all of the children of God are here in this world. There's another world where the majority of souls are, and that is in the actual kingdom of God, or the spiritual world. The Vaikuntha, the Goloka, the spiritual world, the Paravyom, beyond this material world. And the souls there are not fighting and killing each other. They're all enjoying eternal life, bliss and knowledge. But we've chosen to come into this filthy place, into this prison house of material existence, and we're suffering all the different miseries to help us to relieve our attachment to trying to exploit the material energy for our own enjoyment. Once we purify our consciousness and get freed from all of these sins, then we may enter into the kingdom of God. And there we can enjoy the real life. So, you know, just like if you go into a prison, you know, people are not very nice to each other there. You know, they fight with each other. They'll kill each other even, you know. You know, it's nasty places. So we have come in this prison house. Somebody asked me, have I seen God? Yeah, we see God every day in the temple. We see God every day. We see the sun. Krishna is the light of the sun. That's also God, right? We see God through His energy. We see God through His holy name. But why are you so worried about seeing God? Why can't you hear from God? God is speaking to you in the Bhagavad Gita. Seeing is not so important. The important thing is to hear Him. And He's telling you, surrender to Him. So this is more important. We're not demanding that we have to see God. Our business is to serve God. He's not our servant. We're meant to be His servant. It's not my business that He has to come and see me. You know, I'm not going to demand like that. The mood of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were running around Vrindavan shouting, "Where are you, Krishna?" They were so anxious to see God, because the feeling of separation from God is greater. The ecstasy of being separate from God is greater than actually seeing God. Even in the material world, we know that familiarity breeds contempt, right? If you see someone regularly, you don't appreciate them. But if you don't see someone for a long time, then you become anxious to see them. So like that, we should all be anxious in feeling separation from the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement teaches us to feel separation from God, not to see God. That's not our business. Everyone believes in God, but who has seen it? I feel that I can go along spiritual path when some are show proofs for God, these scriptures. Please don't say you have seen air, but it is present. And ask so many people, does God really exist? Does God really exist? Well, you have to understand by logic. Let us look at this world. Do you see order within this material creation? For example, within the universe, there are huge planets floating in space. Do we ever see the sun planet colliding with the moon? You know, just like on the highway, you know, cars are driving, you know, and one car slams into another car, you know. So on the universal orbit, on the universal highway, there are huge planets floating in space. Countless numbers of planets. Do you see them colliding with each other? They're all moving in very carefully controlled orbits, systematically arranged. The sun is rising and setting at time, special times every day. We know exactly what time it's going to rise and set. We know also the different seasons. Roughly, we know when it's going to be cool and when it's going to be wet and when it's going to be very hot. We know the different seasonal changes. We understand there's a lot of order within the universe. If you study science like chemistry, you can see so many different elements are there. And they are all arranged very systematically to produce different chemicals and combine in different ways. Who has arranged all of these things? Where we see so much plan and order, it indicates that there must be some intelligence. Just like if we walk into this room and we see this room and we think, oh, so nice. Fans, nice pictures on the wall, and each picture has got lights. And we say, who has done all this? We say, nobody did it. No, last night there was a big bang and we came to have a look and there it was. It was all there. That's what the scientists say, right? There was a big bang, the chemicals combined, and from all of the big bang came about nice pictures, lights, and it all works. Nobody did it. Yeah, you know, how ridiculous it is, you know. We're just laughing. But people are saying, is it really God? Are we so blind that we cannot see that there must be some creator behind this world? How could it just simply be by chance? You know, there's some intelligent people everywhere doing so many different things. The Hyderabad new airport, how did it get there? Huh? Many modern airport, all convenient. Who has done it? Oh, nobody. It just came there one day. Huh? It fell out of the black hole and just happened to land there at Shamadabad, right? just by chance, Prabhu. It's ridiculous, you know. And we're saying, is it really God? Could it really be? How could it be? No, there cannot be God. No, in the same way, there cannot be any intelligent people in the world, right? There's nobody organizing. There's nobody controlling. But there are. It's obvious. If we think about it, there is God. And you can know Him also. But you have to be willing to hear in the proper manner. Submissive hearing. We have to be willing to hear. Then we can understand. And you can know Him. You can come to know Him. So someone says, is Krishna having the form that we assume He should be? He should be better understood as existing everywhere. Sarvyantaryami. Is Krishna having a form, a personal form, or is He existing everywhere? Yes, He's existing everywhere. The Upanishad says, tad ejati, tad naejati, tad dure tadvantike, tadantarasya sarvasya, tadbhayantara. How does it go? Anyway, the Upanishad said, He is within, He walks and He does not walk. He is far away and He is very near as well. He is within everything, but still He's outside of everything. How is this? This is the words of Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad, right? Ishopanishad, when it speaks in this way, in this manner, that he walks and He does not walk, it appears to be contradictory. These statements are made in this way to help us understand the inconceivable nature of God. That he has inconceivable potencies. Parashya shakti vividaiva shruyate. He has all of these inconceivable potencies. We are trying to understand Him with our limited intelligence. You know, our mind, our senses are imperfect and limited. And we are trying to understand what is unlimited. How is it possible? The limited is going to understand the unlimited. Not possible. But if we hear from the scriptures, then we can understand His nature. That He is everywhere. He is everywhere in His Paramatma feature. But at the same time, He is in one place. The example is given that the sun sits in one place in the sky. But at the same time, the reflection of the sun can be seen on so many places on the planet. The sun is reflected in water and so many different surfaces all over the planet. At the same time, it's in one place in the sky. In the same way, the Lord is existing in one transcendental form as a divine person, and at the same time, He is everywhere in the heart of every living entity and even within each and every atom as the Supreme Lord. This is His inconceivable nature. We cannot understand these things unless we hear. You have to hear and hear again. And you have to chant. We have to be submissive. We have to surrender. Then it begins to make sense. If you do some service, then these things become very easy to understand. As you approach Krishna, He reveals Himself to you. There was a story that one man, a big scholar, a big professor, he came to meet Prabhupada's spiritual master. And he had many questions he wanted to ask to him. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said to him, I'm very busy just now, but please, you go to that other room down there and go in that room and see that man in that room. So the professor went down to that room down there and there was someone in the room. And he went in and he said, your spiritual master sent me to see you. He said, oh, very good. He said, here, take this. And he gave him some cloth and he told him to polish the brass. You know, and he let the professor polish all the brass. You know, and they polished all the brass, all the artic paraphernalia, all the different plates. You know, so he was away for a few hours polishing the brass. So after a few hours, the professor came back and he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, so is everything okay? And the professor said, yes, thank you very much. You know, all his questions were answered by polishing the brass. You see? The point is that by service, we can find all the knowledge. We can answer all our questions, all our doubts. If we take up that mood to be the servant of the Lord, then Krishna is so pleased that he reveals himself. He takes away the maya to reveal himself to us. So this is the secret of devotional service. That the more we engage ourselves in trying to serve Krishna, the more he will reveal himself to us. Okay, we will stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.